everybody. It's indeed a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share some ideas with you. I heard many years ago from Reb Matisyahu Solomon a way of understanding the Shir HaMaalos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, which the first part was really well known to me, but I've never really taken note of the middle part. The Shir HaMaalos of David, Hinei Matov Umanoim, Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. That's very well known. Keshemen Hatoiv Al Harosh, like the good oil on the head, Yored Al Hazoken, running down the beard, Zokon Aaron, the beard of Aaron, She Yored Al Pi Midosov, going down to the hem of his garments. What is the meaning of this relationship between Inayim Atov Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad and this good oil on the head going down to the hem of the garments running down the beard of Aaron? So the relationship between brothers in the Torah was not very successful initially. Cain and Hevel, and then Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. Yosef and his brothers, Peretz and Zerach, got on quite well. But the real example of the name Atova Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad is Moshe and Aaron. And what is the basis of this relationship as it developed between Moshe and Aaron? So at the snare, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu approached Moshe with this incredible opportunity to be the one who would take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and ultimately to Har Sinai and give the Torah there, so Moshe's reaction was to refuse. And for 7 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu negotiated with Moshe, and Moshe came up with all sorts of reasons trying to not go on this mission. He couldn't speak, he said he stuttered, he couldn't speak properly, and eventually the Midrash says He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlach no b'yati shlach. Send somebody who's more suitable than me. And the root of the reason, as Reb Matisyahu explained from the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, that was that he was reluctant to undertake the mission because he had an older brother, Aaron, who had been in Mitzrayim all these many, many years when he had been away. And Aaron had shouldered the responsibility of being the manik of Klal Yisrael and dealt with all the problems. And now he would come down to Mitzrayim as a shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and basically tell Aaron that you've got to now move aside, I'm taking over. And how could he upset his brother Aaron? And that would seem to be Alti Musar, a very, very fine thing to do. Out of consideration of his brother's feelings, he would turn down this most incredible opportunity in history to be the one who would be zoiche to take Klal Yisrael of Mitzrayim and everything that flowed from that. Nevertheless, the Pasuk there says V'choro Ar Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. So while at first glance it may seem to be a very noble gesture on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu not to undertake the mission in consideration of his brother's feelings, the fact that it says Choro Ar Hashem implies that there was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with, and it means that somewhere along the line Moshe would have to suffer the consequences of what he had done over there. There was something at fault in what Moshe did. So, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu convince Moshe to go down to Mitzrayim? He said, your brother Aaron, whom you're concerned with, knows through Nebuah that I've made this proposal to you, and he is not only, he's coming to meet you, not only is he not upset, but Samach Belibo, he's rejoicing in his heart at hearing this wonderful opportunity that's been given to you. So your concern of hurting the feelings of Aaron is misplaced. And in fact, somehow it says, because Samach the Libo, Chazal tell us, because of Aaron was Samach the Libo, that lave was fitting to where the Urim the Tumim ultimately for him to become the Kohen Gadol. So this is in fact one side of the equation. You can see on the part of Aaron that he was samach the libor, in the sense that he was happy with what the wonderful opportunity that had been given to Moshe. And we see now that Hinaimatov Manoim carries with it the idea not only that brothers get on with each other and don't chas v'sholem have machlokes, but they can actually be samach the libo at the success of each other. Now, the story unfolds. This Choro Af Hashem has to find some ultimate expression. And the Medrash Rabbo says that Kol Shiva Yemei Hasneh Hayah Kodesh Baruch Hu Mefate Es Moshe Sheyelech B'Shlichu Soi L'Mitzrayim. That for 7 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convince Moshe to go. Hodahu Lichsiv, as it's written, Gam Mitmol, Gam Milshon, Gam Me'az, Dibercho Al Avodecho. Harei Shisho, Uvashvi Omer, on the 7th day, Moshe concluded and said, Shlach no v'yad tishloch. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Moshe at Omer, you said, Shlach no v'yad tishloch. I should rather send somebody else. Chayecho she'ani soirero es biknofecho. I am going to tie your wings. Because of what you have said over here, ultimately I'm going to tie your wings. Now what does it mean to tie the wings? So the Midrash says, Rab Levi Omer, Kol Shiva Yemei Odor Hayam Moshe Mevakesh for 6-7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let him go into Eretz Yisrael. Uvashvi, and on the 7th day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him ultimately that he can't go. Ki loy savoy es hayarden hazeh. Chelbo Amar, Reb Chelbo says, Kol shivas yemei amiluim hayem esameish bekhuno gedoylo. For 7 days, Moshe, when the Mishkan was erected, Moshe served as the Kohen Gadol, and he began to feel that he would be able to continue to be the Kohen Gadol. Uvashri, and on the seventh day, Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Lo Yishelcho, it's not for you. He is not for you. Ela shel Aaron achichohi. It's for your brother Aaron. Hodohu dichsiv by Yehi by Yom Hashmini. So on Yom Hashmini, Moshe was informed that his expectation of continuing to be the Kohen Gadol would not come to fruition. Everybody expected that he should be the Kohen Gadol, including Aaron. And at the last minute, he was told, "You are not going to fulfill this role, which you expect to fulfill and which you are fitting to fulfill, but it's going to go to your brother Aaron." And so Moshe was faced with a tremendous disappointment, and we would have expected that he would have been able to withstand it, but he was asked to do much more than just withstand the disappointment of not becoming the Kohen Gadol. He in fact had to donate the money to prepare the clothing for the Kohen Gadol, and when Aaron was anointed as the Kohen Gadol, not only would he have to just stand there and appear to accept it, and in fact accept it, he had to be the one that actually anointed him. And everything that was done for the Mishkan had to be done with a fullness of heart. There couldn't be any reservations or chas v'sholom, any resentment in a person participating in the contribution to the Mishkan, and that's why the Mishkan lasted forever, Nitzchius, and it even exists today. I believe that there's Chazal, which says that before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim took the Mishkan down deep underneath the Har HaBayis, and it exists there today. And the reason why it exists is because everything done for it was the Chol Lev, in the full heart, without any kind of feeling of being onerous in order to contribute to the building. And so, in the same way, the anointing of the Kohen had to be with a fullness of heart. So here Moshe was confronted in a certain way as a consequence of Chora Af Hashem, that he will be subjected to the experience of being disappointed to do something which he so much expected to be able to do because he loved Klal Yisrael, and at the last minute he was frustrated in the sense that he couldn't be. He was told, you're not going to be the Kohen Gadol, somehow in response to the way he'd behaved at the snare. And he was told that you have to anoint him, and it's got to be b'chol leiv. And so we can now understand what it says in Tehillim: k'shemen hatoiv al harosh, like the good oil on the head. When the oil that Moshe used to anoint Moshe, to anoint Aaron, with the fullness of his heart, without any reservations, complimenting the fact that Aaron had come to meet him, when Aaron had heard that he was now going to take over the manning of Klal Yisrael, now Moshe did it b'chol leiv. When the good oil came onto Aaron's head, yored al hazoken, running down the beard, the double use of the word beard, first of all, running down the beard of Moshe. Moshe felt as if the oil was running down his beard. The simcha that he felt at anointing Aaron into this position of being Kohen Gadol was as if it was his simcha. He felt it the same way, like it ran down his beard when it was running down the beard of Aaron, al midosof, to the hem of the clothing that Moshe had prepared, and he had been very happy that Aaron should have this clothing and assume that position. So we see that the ultimate fulfillment of Hinayim HaTorah Manayim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad is being able to rejoice at the Hatzlocha and the success of somebody else as if it would be happening to you. And that's what it means, Hinayim HaTorah Manayim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad. But now, to take it a little bit further, I heard an idea from Rabbi Milevsky Zatzal, who was a teacher at Or Sameach, and I've been a Talmid of his mainly through tapes. I met him a few times, and he took another angle and presented the following perspective. In a sense, although Moshe was reluctant to undertake the mission to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim because of his feelings for Aaron, he ultimately agreed. Of course, he said because he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Aaron was son of the Libo. But there's a deeper idea that Shem Yishmor brings as to why he didn't want to go and ultimately agreed. And that was because of his love for Klal Yisrael. Because if he would have taken Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, at his level, only the elite would have been zoiche to go out. And because he was concerned for every Jew, so when he heard that Aaron would do the mission together with him, Aaron was a person who was able to relate at a more closer level to every Jew. He was Oyev Shalom, Oyev Shalom, and he went out of his way, and he was able to have a relationship with every Jew. And so the combination of Moshe and Aaron ensured that not only the elite went out, but every Jew went out. Now, every Jew going out of Mitzrayim carried with it a liability. And that liability, including the Erev Rav, meant that we would receive the Torah at Sinai. Had Moshe listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only those who were really zoiche to go out of Mitzrayim would have gone out, then there wouldn't have been a Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael would have received the Torah. Moshe wouldn't have broken the Lukos. There wouldn't have been a Chet HaEgel. And Moshe would have been a completely different basis on which Moshe led Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, ultimately into Eretz Yisrael. Now, because of what Moshe did, because of his concern for Klal Yisrael, we have now a different kind of Klal Yisrael. And that different Klal Yisrael were not Zoyche to receive the Luchas because of the Chet Ha'Egel and everything that flowed from it. And so we have a situation ultimately that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he now wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you remember I said I'm going to tie your wings? Now what does it mean to tie wings? When you tie the wings of a bird, it means that intrinsically there's nothing wrong with a bird. The bird is fully capable of flying. But when you tie the wings, it means you impose a restriction on the bird that has nothing to do with the bird. So it means that as far as Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, there was absolutely no reason why he shouldn't have been Zoyche to go into Eretz Yisrael. And why did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael? It wasn't because he wanted to enjoy Eretz Yisrael, it was because he wanted to have the benefit of fulfilling the mitzvahs that flew into Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs that are related to living in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because not just fulfilling the mitzvahs, but a person, the Shem Yishmor says that a person, when he does mitzvahs, the mitzvahs are connected, the 630 Nivorim of the body, and when a person does all these mitzvahs, he's able to be masaken himself in a spiritual way and achieve the potential that HaKadosh Baruch has given him. So, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, he, in his own terms, would be Zoyche to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael and be able to have this privilege of completing his tikkun as much as would be possible, and which he needed the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael to be masakim. However, when he started to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he davened for those six days, on the seven days, Vayom HaShmini, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that not you can't go into Eretz Yisrael, but stop to daven, which would mean, we could maybe suppose, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have continued to daven, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have been able to refuse him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, I'm not answering your tefillahs. He's saying, I'm telling you to stop davening. Rav Lecho, it's enough, you mustn't daven. Why mustn't you daven? And Moshe was makabel. Why was he makabel? So Shem Yishmor says, interestingly, that if he would have taken Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it would have been a disaster. Because the Klal Yisrael that he was taking into Eretz Yisrael were not on the Madrega that they could ensure that they would have the right to always to live in Eretz Yisrael. And if it would come that they do Chatoim, as ultimately it did, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the one to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, everything that Moshe did was for Nitzchias. Everything that he did was for eternity. The Torah was for eternity. He was involved in the Mishkan. The Mishkan existed and exists forever. It would have meant that Klal Yisrael could not be sent into Golis. Klal Yisrael would have not been, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have been able to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beit HaMikdash, it also would have been for eternity. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, please stop to daven. For the sake of that very Klal Yisrael that you were Moisa Nefesh for, that you wanted to take out and you only prepared to take out together with Aaron, a Klal Yisrael that it was inclusive of everybody, then because of that there was a built-in potential for them not being able to live up to the standard they should stand up to, which only the elite would have been able to stand up to. So now I would not be able, HaKadosh Baruch would not have been able to take out his anger on the wood and on the stones. He would have had to take it out on Klal Yisrael, and he wouldn't be able to send them into Golis as a form in which to punish them for the lack of proper behavior in Eretz Yisrael. They would have had to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe to stop davening, for that same Klal Yisrael which you love so much, that Klal Yisrael that you did everything you could to take out, for that same Klal Yisrael, now stop to daven and don't take them into Eretz Yisrael, because if you take them in, you'll take them in with Nisim, and you'll take them in for Nitzchias, and the consequences will be disastrous, because the Klal Yisrael that we have as your concern for them will not be able to live up to that standard. And Moshe accepted it and stopped to daven. So, in a sense, and as a matter, in fact, to reinforce the idea, after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu another opportunity to be able to create a Klal Yisrael that would be an elitist Klal Yisrael that would start from him. And that Klal Yisrael would have gone into Eretz Yisrael in the same way that the ideal Klal Yisrael would have gone into Eretz Yisrael had Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled the first request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He refused. He said, cut me out of the Torah. If you do that, I don't want to be in the you must cut me out of the Torah. And so Moshe Rabbeinu a second time was Moshe Nefesh in terms of what he would be able to do ultimately for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Now this idea of being Moshe Nefesh, I saw an interesting story, or a true story, about Rabbi Yehuda Heschel Levenberg. And he was sent by the Alter Slobodka to America, to Connecticut actually, in 1922 to found the first Yeshiva Gedolah in America. And he had a very, very hard time. It was hard enough to get Talmidim, but he had to sacrifice everything in order to maintain this Yeshiva. And ultimately he had to go from door to door collecting for the Yeshiva, and he was even reduced to collecting tomatoes from Jewish farmers in the area so that he could feed his students. On his deathbed, he related the following to his close student, Rav Sender Lichtner, and he said, do you know the meaning of Mesidas Nefesh? You probably think Mesidas Nefesh as being burnt at the stake to sanctify Hashem's name. No, that's Mesidas Haguf, at the sacrifice of the body. I could have remained in Slobodka and spent my life going through Shas many times. I could have gone through Shas. Instead, I came to America and spent my days collecting tomatoes from Jewish farmers around New Haven so that my Talmidim would have something to eat. That's Mesidas Nefesh. So Mesidas Nefesh is sacrificing one's potential for spiritual growth and spiritual fulfillment. Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared to sacrifice Mesidas Nefesh to actually ultimately give up the opportunity that he would have had to develop in terms of his spiritual development. It was Mesidas Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, and ultimately he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael because of his love for Klal Yisrael. So we take the idea of Hinei Matova Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachat. In the respect of Moshe Rabbeinu in regard to his brother Aaron, on that personal level, he was Sameach and he did everything that he could for the success of his brother Aaron. And now we see on a more national scale how he was Moshe Nefesh for this Hatzlocha of every member of Klal Yisrael, even at his own spiritual expense. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed this by saying, I will tie your wings. What you've done means that your wings will be tied. You are fit to go into Eretz Yisrael. There's no reason why you shouldn't be zoich in your own terms to have the spiritual consequences of being able to live and do the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. But because of your concern for Klal Yisrael, I have to tie your wings, and you, Moshe with mamas, Moshe Nefesh. Now, this idea of being happy or interested to achieve the success of somebody else is echoed in a medrash about the prophetess Dvoira. And the medrash asks, Ma tuvish of Dvoira? What was there special or great about Dvoira that the Kosh Baruch Hu considered her worthy of having Nebuah conferred upon her? And the medrash goes on to say, because a person doesn't get Nebuah unless they have some merit. There has to be some basis on which a Kosh Baruch Hu will decide that a person should be zoicha to be a novi. And the Medrash says the schus or the merit of Dvoira was the husband was an Amaoritz. The husband's Amaoritz, they were poor people, and she thought to herself, how will my husband ever be zoicha to his Olam Habo? How will he ever have the opportunity to become the person that he has the potential to become? There was not much she could do, and in fact she thought to herself, and all she could come up with was to make beautiful candle wicks, petilos. And she made these beautiful candle wicks with all her heart and all her soul, and she gave it to her husband, and she said to him, "My dear husband, take these candle wicks and go to Shiloh," which at that time was the Mokom Toel of Klal Yisrael, that's where the Mishkan was, "and you'll sell these candle wicks, and who will want to buy beautiful candle wicks? Talmid HaChomim, people of Yerushalayim, and they'll become your customers, and you'll get to meet the cream of Klal Yisrael, and you'll be able to hear their Divrei Torah, perhaps they'll invite you into their homes, and so you'll be able to grow in Torah." And that's what happened. And in fact, the Medrash says that one of his names of the husband was Lapidot, Lapidos, after the Petilos. The Petilos of his wife made him, and that's why he's called Lapidos. There actually was a gentleman in South Africa by the name of Mr. Lapidus, and when I came across this, I told him, I found the source of your name, Mr. Lapidus. So he was called, another opinion, he was Barak, the general. And then the Medrash says, "My Kodesh Baruch Hu is boichem the bovis." Kodesh Baruch Hu looked into the heart of Dvorah and said, "I put you in a limited situation, and you did all that you could for the sake of your husband. You mesiras nefesh, and you tried to find a way to find that your husband should be matzliach. You are therefore qualified to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, because the purpose and the function of the leader of Klal Yisrael is to ensure the success of every member of Klal Yisrael." And then finally, it's interesting to note that when we see the greatest praise being given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's when the imagery that Chazal have given us in crafting the Siddur is they describe, when do the Malachim say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? So it's when, how is the scene set for us? That ze nosnim reshus ze el ze. Each one is giving the reshus to the other malach to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kula makabli malhem o malchus shamayim ze mize. And each one is accepting the o malchus shamayim one from another. And that is praising a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We would think that each malach in their own right would praise a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the Pasuk is teaching us that way that Chazal presented to us is teaching us that when you are including somebody else, you're giving reshus, you're giving encouragement, you're providing the opportunity for somebody else to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the basis on which one serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that sense, we can now understand why David HaMelech said, "Hinei matovim anayim sheves achim gam yachad." The example is given of Moshe being happy and celebrating the Hatzlocha of Aaron. And in the broader sense, the real Hinei Matovim Anayim is when a person is happy and does everything that he can to ensure the Hatzlocha of every single Jew.